If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Okay. Come through, Queen. I wanna see ya. Come through, Queen.
Hi everyone, it's Dan
and Brendan,
and this is Come Through Queen.
Yeah. So you gotta go with your girl.
See, she's a lawyer. She knows.
I agree. I'm not
a lawyer, but that girl code.
Hi Brendan.
Where are my queens at?
Where are my queens at? Right here, baby. We have a studio audience with us today. It's a beautiful summer night.
Beautiful summer night.
No, fuck summer. Summer's over.
Between the crowded subway, walking through the heat, and then like finally being in like your nice cool building, and then having to wait for the elevator because only one's working, and then being jammed in there with like seven people and a dog.
Two dogs usually.
Two dogs.
Can't wait to escape to Maine, where the highs are in the 70s, the lows in the 60s, baby.
Nice. Speaking of going on vacation.
Yes.
Did you know that you can go on vacation with Vicky Gunvalson?
I want to move it up.
Oh my God. So some weird company called, like, An Exclusive Affair is offering a vacation with Vicky at the Hyatt Ziva Puerto Vallarta. And what's included in this? So, first of all, you get upgraded oceanfront accommodations.
Sign me up.
All meals, all premium beverages. You get Wi-Fi. You get hotel taxes. What does that mean?
Hotel taxes are paid as part of this.
Airport transfers are paid. You receive a free Whoop It Up hat with your purchase.
So I really like the concept of it being a free Whoop It Up hat, considering the price that we will divulge later down the line.
Yeah, it's so much. So what happens when you arrive? On Saturday, December 1, you arrive at the Hyatt Ziva Puerto Vallarta. On Sunday,
I guess you just sit there the whole day.
On Sunday, you go to a beach party with Vicky from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m., which is that's like a long time, right?
I bet you like that is getting the party started. We go to Andalays at 10.
Well, like, I don't think Vicky's going to want to bring every single person to Andalays.
Like, the select few.
Select, like, the cool kids. So then the next day, Monday, there's a Q&A with Vicky from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
2 hours of questioning.
So what would you ask Vicky?
You could ask so many. I mean, like, can we ask about the Brooks and the cancer.
I bet you that some items are, like, off limits. Mm-mm. Or, like, I don't know. Vicky might want to talk about Brooks.
Especially maybe if it's, like, an intimate setting, she'll be more willing to open up.
Mm-hmm.
As long as no one's recording
No cameras allowed.
Yeah.
Later that day, from 3 to 5 p.m., you get pool time with Vicky.
Okay, so we're all diving in the pool together. Hanging out.
And then we get almost 24 hours off from Vicky. So
she needs a break.
You won't see her till Tuesday, December 4th, when you go to a cocktail party with Vicky from 6 to 9 p.m.
And then we close off this trip with one more trip to Andelys, and then we depart on Wednesday, December 5th.
Andelys isn't listed here, so this is Dan's fanfic.
I know, but Andelys is like, we're not going to depart to Vallarta for our health. We're going there for Andelys.
So the room categories is where it gets wild.
So what you're about to read is for assuming two-person occupancies, the prices are per person.
Okay, so starting, category one is the Oceanfront King. That starts at $1,550 per person.
Yes.
There's category two that also starts at the same, or for a double, that starts at the same price point.
Mm-hmm.
Ocean View King with a balcony, you have to pay $30 per person.
Which, I feel like at this point, why not?
Right. You might as well
scrounge up $30.
And then single occupancy rates.
So if you're daring to go alone, to go get an Oceanfront King, is $1,980.
That's $1,980.
Yes.
Which is wild. And then that same king with a balcony, which if you're alone, you probably shouldn't get a room with a balcony because
you're gonna jump.
If you're at cocktail hour, yada yada yada, something could happen.
Oh no, stop.
That's $2,010.
So this does include. Does it include airfare?
No, it's not airfare.
No, it does not include airfare. Then, if that's the case, we're talking
you
one,
get airport
two,
transfers.
Three. We're only talking three nights here. So this is like a pretty penny.
And like, who wants to hang out with Vicky?
I do. But like, I would like to maybe, you know what would not be the craziest idea? This just came to me like as we're discussing this. Book a trip to Puerto Vallarta during this time frame. Go to Andelys. You know Vicky's going to show up. Hello. You're saving hundreds of dollars.
And
you get the same experience.
That's stalking? Technically, I think that's called stalking.
No.
Yeah.
So, wait. No, actually, it's four nights. I apologize.
It's okay.
Four nights, like $500 a night, meals included. But here's the thing. I don't want meals included.
Why?
We've discussed this in the past. An all-inclusive meal thing, they're not giving you the best of the best.
Right, true.
They're giving you a piece of bread, like like a dry piece of chicken.
A flatbread. I love a flatbread.
So it's not. I bet you it's not going to be anything to write home about. But if any of our listeners decide to embark on this trip, we would love to hear a full report of your diaries from this trip.
That's true. And while we're soliciting full reports, also, TomTom is opening this weekend. And
oh, to the public.
To the public.
Okay.
And I know that some of you are in LA or the greater Los Angeles area. We would like some reports from TomTom if you choose to go. I hear that they have their own take of a Crunchwrap, which is the best menu and the item at Taco Bell.
Mm.
And I'm dying to try it.
Yeah, I even wonder if, like, the food's going to be up and running this weekend. They might try to ease in with just drinks.
Maybe, but they already did, like,
soft opening.
They did soft opening. They did press
family,
opening. They did all that. There was food
openings
during that.
Yeah.
And, like, I watched enough Bar Rescue to know that you got up for the stress test. You got to do both.
So far, Yelp, 2 5-star reviews, baby.
Beautiful.
We're off to a good start. Check out a amazing picture of the Toms standing in front of the clockwork bar. But let's move over to other news going on in the Los Angeles, Beverly Hills area.
Yeah. So the rumors are true. Denise Richards has officially joined the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Bring a book.
Care or don't care, Dan?
You know, probably don't care, but I will hold my judgment until I see what actually transpires.
Where I think I will care is if her and Rinna try to form a sisterhood and come out guns a-blazin'.
Yeah, we need another actress sisterhood.
Yeah. So she confirmed her participation exclusively to People, and she said, "I'm so excited to join the cast of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, as I'm a huge fan of the show." She's going to be joining everyone else from last year, all of whom...
This is really interesting. Is this an official, like, they're all back? Because usually we don't know for sure until, like, the trailer drops in a few weeks.
People is using the word expected to be back, and we've seen photos of Rinna, Erica, and Dorit filming together.
Yeah.
Safe
to say LVP and
Kyle. And then, like, Teddy, I feel like I've seen her and Kyle together recently. So this is where Denise's quote gets, like, really bonkers to me. She says, "I'm looking forward to spending time with all the ladies and hopefully meeting Boy George." Because Boy George, like, lives with Dorit.
Yeah. Dorit's actually been... I follow Dorit on Instagram. And I believe Boy George is on tour this summer. And mm-hmm. she's been bopping around to some of the stops.
Oh, is that going to be a storyline, too?
I'm sure.
And between that and we're going to get the Erica... Jane tour.
Oh yeah, the Pretty Mess is coming to 4 or 5 cities near you.
Mm-hmm.
Jersey City being the one near us, which is also the same night that Christina Aguilera is performing in Atlantic City, which I think is very homophobic for her to be performing in the same state as Christina, her close personal friend, mm-hmm. who she should be opening for it, for God's sake.
Yeah, that would be a better storyline.
Yeah.
But I think that, like, doesn't Christina watch? I don't think she wants to be a part of the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So, in other casting rumors, which, like, take it with a grain of salt.
This is, like, Willa Ford, Holly Marie Combs territory.
But Good Tea Time on Instagram posted a photo of Denise Richards, Lisa Rinna, and Tori Spelling all together. It's obviously an old photo, but they wrote, "Casting tea, Diamond. Hashtag Tori Spelling is allegedly the latest addition joining Rubba. For season 9, get the tea on all the juicy details about Beverly Hills 90210 star joining the reality show. Link in bio. Teacup." We didn't click the link.
It's a lot of tea. The tea is exceptionally good today. You know what? I would take Tori over Denise Richards any day of the week.
I would not. Oh. Tori's, like, almost in too sad of territory. Like... she's not getting any money from anything. She keeps on having kids in order to, like, sell more reality shows.
Yeah, come on.
Her husband is, like... what, isn't he still cheating on her, allegedly, or something all the time? I don't want that. I want you to present, like, a pristine outside, and then once I get a little closer, it all unravels, you know?
You know what I want?
What?
Carney Wilson.
Of course you do.
Where is the diamond? We need the damn diamond. Carney, in her one episode story arc, gave us perhaps the greatest performance of... was it last season or the season before? Hard to even keep track of
the season before, because Kim was there.
Yeah. You're right.
What did she even do that was, like, so great?
She, like, mediated the fight between... I want to say it was Kim.
It was Kim and Eden, because they all three of them are sober sisters.
Yes. She earned that diamond. That day when she was letting people taste her donuts or something?
I think it was like little cakes.
Cupcakes or, like, mini cupcakes. Okay.
Baked by Carney.
We got tipped off to this little story over on the Come Through Queen Facebook group where things are active 24/7, 7 days a week, mm-hmm. 365 days a year. Mm-hmm. So if you need your Come Through Queen fix at any given moment, you should be joining. Let's discuss this now.
Okay, this one, like, I can't wrap my head around because I'm not of legal mind.
Yes, I will hopefully help you wrap your head around it. So this is from The Real Deal, which is
it The Real Deal?
It's The Real Deal, guys.
But is it The Real Deal? You know,
it's
can we trust this?
It's a it's a real estate publication. They cover all the real estate hot goss. I'm sure Ryan Serhant has been on the cover multiple times. Mm-hmm.
I love Million Dollar Listing now, by the way,
because you're a proud hat.
Yeah,
but that's besides the point. The agency's Mauricio Umansky hit with lawsuit allegedly alleging impropriety in $70 million home flip. So this is beautifully written, by the way. It's a story of corruption, Ferraris, Michael Jackson memorabilia, and now alleged real estate impropriety. An insurance company claims in a lawsuit filed in federal court that agency co-founder Mauricio Umansky misled a client when he conspired with another investor to underpay for a Malibu mansion and then flip it for $70 million. That's more than double what they paid for it a year earlier. So the story actually dates to 2011 when the son of Equatorial Guinea president Teodoro Obiang reached a settlement agreement with the Department of Justice, and part of that settlement agreement required him to relinquish this property in question, meaning put it up for sale. The United States government would get a third of the proceeds of the sale, and then at least a large portion of it would be going to the people of his country. So this is where Mauricio gets in his grubby little hands. In 2015, he was tapped as the listing agent. And a few months later, he brokered a deal to an individual named Mauricio Oberfeld. So we got two Mauricios teaming up who agreed to pay $32 million. Now here's the gag. Mauricio Umansky also invested in the deal, according to the lawsuit.
And that's where it starts to get illegal?
Yes. So, with approval from the government, the home sold in February 2016. A year later, Umansky and Oberfeld flipped the home for $69.9 million, over double what they had paid for it, records show. So, while courting offers, Umansky received one from a man named Sam Haken, who offered to pay Oberfeld an extra $8 million to get first bids on the home, according to the lawsuit. Umansky countered that offer without bringing it to the seller, demanding Haken pay $15 million instead of $8 million, with the agency retaining a 4% brokerage fee from the sale. The Real Deal actually goes into a ton more details, which even, like, sheds more light onto this shady situation. But a spokesperson for the agency told The Real Deal on Monday that Umansky had acted entirely appropriately in handling the sale. Umansky handled the transaction with honesty and integrity, and we will vigorously defend ourselves against the meritless lawsuit, she added. So here are the things to me that pop out as shady.
Okay.
Number one, he's the listing agent, which means he's representing the person selling the property, representing their financial interests, etc. If in New York, if a real estate agent is involved in the purchase or sale of a property, it actually has to be disclosed in the purchase or sale contract, like, the buyer is, like, acknowledges that they are a licensed real estate salesperson or whatever.
Okay.
To me, it sounds like, was that even disclosed? Because they're making a big deal of the fact that he was part of the purchase, and maybe the seller didn't know about that.
So he sold it in part to himself.
Yeah.
Okay.
The other thing was, people were making offers, and he wasn't bringing all the offers to the seller's attention, and instead, like, countering himself while he's trying to purchase the property.
Right.
So he, like, the seller doesn't know everything that's going on, and that's really bad when Mauricio is trying to get the property himself.
Right.
So those are, like, the two big things that jump out. Someone in the Facebook group mentioned that she believes California has a similar law of disclosure in terms of identifying yourself as a real estate agent when you're buying or selling property. I don't know that, obviously, because states range with all their rules and laws and
you
stuff.
You don't look it up?
Brendan, this podcast doesn't pay me enough to
would
to
you
do that
fail
work.
The bar there, like, what's her name's husband?
Oh, my God, like, Shane. No. So, yeah. And then apparently, like, this might just be the tip of the iceberg in terms of shady things going on at the agency.
According to a blind item.
Allegedly. So we'll see. I mean, obviously, it's just a lawsuit. We don't know what the outcome is.
Mm-hmm.
Let's let it play out in the court of law.
Yeah.
And tune back in later.
All the way to the Supreme Court.
Yeah. So let's take a quick break, and we will discuss the shows this week. We got Potomac, we got OC, and we got New York, Mama's Back, baby. So stay tuned. Hey, Brennan, it's the Potomac finale.
Hey, Dan, yeah.
So here's the thing. Finales usually suck.
Yeah, they're usually a bore snore.
Yeah.
Unless it's like a New Jersey season one or like,
like
a Beverly Hills season one.
Was the dinner party from hell wasn't the season finale.
You stole my goddamn house.
Oh, you're right.
I hate that I'm the only person here who's not a Surface fan.
I just like like to keep Beverly Hills out of my brain. Otherwise, I'll just fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
But back to Potomac. We pick up from the cliffhanger from last week where... Is Karen home when they deliver the pizza?
Such a cliffhanger.
Such a cliffhanger. We learn later on during the episode, she doesn't even know a pizza was ever delivered.
Yeah, and then she thinks that, like, some prank was played where Ashley peed on the pizza.
A pizza that she just never received.
Yeah.
But we do get the official announcement of La Dame Fragrance, which is featured on a billboard in Times Square.
It's like... a slide and like a moving billboard.
Yeah. So congrats to her. One of the highlights from the season has been producer interaction with Karen during her talking heads. And the producer's asking her, like, what's the payment plan for her husband's settlement? And she refuses to talk about it or answer it.
That weird breakfast scene with her and her husband where, like, she had obviously gotten some food. Mm. Like, I think she had walked over to Craft Services for the show's production, grabbed a few pastries, and, like, put them on a plate. Because she was really surprised that something was good. I was like, you just made it look like you were cooking this breakfast, and then now you're surprised.
Yeah. We get the continuation of Ashley and Michael talking about a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really jarring for me to see Ashley saying, I want a baby by 30.
Yeah.
The fact that we have a 20-something housewife, I sometimes forget about.
Yeah, she started when she was like 25.
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah. Also, did you notice, speaking of weird timing and stuff like that, this didn't happen until the end, but like someone mentioned, why would you have a party on a rooftop in October? And so this season... of Potomac is ending where the season of New York we're watching started.
Yeah, that's wild.
Which is wild.
But we kind of knew that because we were wondering, like, where is Potomac?
And we thought that, like, maybe they were just going to, like...
Can it,
right?
Yeah.
The Washington Post was writing a lot of articles about Potomac that now aren't true because this was a good season of Potomac.
I know, yeah. This was probably the best season of Potomac.
Mm-hmm.
We also get... a peek into Ashley's engagement party when they're arriving to Candace's.
Mm-hmm.
How they had... It was a decades party, and she dressed as Vanessa Williams. I mean, like, dressing as specifically somebody at your own engagement party seems it's a little weird.
It's like you're putting on a mask because you don't necessarily want to live the truth of the engagement.
Sad.
If you had to go to a decades party, what decade would you dress as?
Well, I think the concept here is you have to dress as the decade you're born.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
It wasn't just like multiple choice.
Oh, weird. Because in elementary school, we had to do a decades thing, and I got stuck with like the worst decade, or I thought it was the worst decade of the time, to dress for, the 1940s. And like when you're like a little kid, like what do you do?
What the, like?
I put on a suit and like I was like, I'm Frank Sinatra.
That's like not the right decade.
I know. Well, I think it was the decade he was born.
Oh,
no,
okay.
No, it wasn't.
I mean, maybe actually.
He was around in the 40s, right?
Not like, I don't think he was like performing.
Mm.
Yeah. So, so at this engagement party, we get another showdown between Ashley and Karen. And I liked Karen's rant where she was like, I don't care about your opinion about my ring, my toes, my toenails. If I cared about that, I'm going to check myself into an insane asylum.
She's not a well woman, but I love her for it.
Yeah. Was there anything else before I get to the closing montage of where are they now moments?
Chris got them all napkins with their names on it.
Oh, which was because he didn't get them napkins at the, what was it, like, it wasn't kickball?
No, it was like,
it was a weird,
it was ball,
fake sport.
Like, you put yourself
in a ball.
A ball, but, like, you play soccer.
Oh, yeah.
In that ball, I think.
It's, like, a little bit like Overwatch. Like a fake sport.
No.
No, Lucio Ball is starting up. It's Overwatch Summer Games, baby.
Oh.
So where are we now? Candace appears to be landing on a $175,000 budget for her wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Which, given what we've seen thus far of this...
Like, her fiancé couldn't even afford napkins at the party.
But not even that, like... They appear to be in a troubled relationship, right?
Yeah.
Ooh, I mean, to be, like, pouring that money into something that will all be for naught.
And, like, the kid, his kid might be there that he hasn't seen in 9 years or something.
Yeah.
They're all, like, their narrative around that kid, like, coming to the wedding or something like that is like, yeah. Like, the wedding's the right place to do it.
Yeah.
Like, no.
On camera, too. Why not? My favorite was Ashley's where are they now moment.
Mm-hmm.
She went to a fertility temple and prayed to a wooden penis with Michael.
Beautiful.
We learned Monique is pregnant. Do we know this?
In life, we knew this, yeah.
We did?
Yeah. Someone sent us, like, the reveal or something like that.
Oh.
There's, like, an Instagram thing of... It's, like, a boomerang of her, like, in a flowy dress and then, like, she turns and holds her stomach and she reveals. We've known about this for, like, a long time.
Wow. Okay. I think I was just not paying attention.
Yeah. Wake up, Pearl.
Robin's fixer-upper. Still needs work.
Of course. That's never going to be completed.
She might be getting remarried to Juan.
Good.
Love it. Oh, I skipped over the part where she hung out with, like, her biological dad, and everyone's like, yeah, get back together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love them. I feel like they have rekindled it.
Yeah.
I think they
truly love each other.
Yeah.
They saw that Medium or whatever.
And they hinted to the G.I. Jane haircut, which we have seen on Watch Diamonds Live. We've seen in the reunion previews.
Mm-hmm. You call it the G.I. Jane haircut?
That's what they called it in the...
Oh, really?
Where are they now? Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. I know, it's so weird.
Like, G.I. Jane was, like,
shaved. I know.
This is like a Justin... I would say Justin Bieber or something. Like,
yeah.
Ellen.
Yeah, more like Ellen. Yeah. So, I don't remember Giselle's Where Are They Now. I feel like it talked about possibly getting back with Sherman. Which...
No, it said an old flame.
Oh, an old... Even older.
No, it was, like, vague enough that it could have been Sherman.
Mm-mm-mm.
Just didn't name him.
Okay. So, previews for the reunion.
Three-parter.
Congratulations, ladies.
You've made it.
It looks great.
Mm-hmm.
High energy. Everyone's awake.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing our jobs.
Mm-hmm.
However, and even Andy said this on Watch 7th Live to Giselle, the looks... our little wackadoodle.
I mean, Karen was in a wedding dress. Like a ball gown wedding dress.
Yeah. And, I mean, Andy even had the audacity to say that Giselle, that was probably not your best look.
Mm-hmm.
That green, I don't even know what material it was.
Yeah.
Her hair in a pony.
Also, you know what bugs me? It seems like the set is smaller than a usual reunion set.
Mm-hmm.
They all seem very close.
Good. Intimate.
No.
Oh, okay. No.
I like it. I like
spread
there to
out.
Be some space.
Running room?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know what's the perfect one? New Jersey season 2. Granted, they only had, what, 4 people total. But, like, they each had a ton of room on each couch. Like,
sure.
The place was huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Borgata, baby.
I also like when they do a destination and they get to, like, say where they're filming
yeah,
from.
Yeah, but did we even film this in Potomac, or did we ship them up to
New York? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Were they in somewhere in Brooklyn?
Were they?
I feel like we reported on this.
Like, no. That was something different. That was, like, SpawnCon that was being filmed with Giselle out in the wild, I believe.
Oh, okay. So, let's move right along to Orange County.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, it was going to be hard to...
Top last week. Mm-hmm.
And for a while, I was a little bored.
And we also, like, unfortunately, we have two new women that we have to get to know.
Yeah.
And their home lives are, to me, just, like, not that interesting.
Yeah. Well, we have, like, something we haven't really seen before. Emily's elderly in-laws are fitness fanatics.
Yeah.
Which was fine.
And also, like...
While we're there, we learn that her mother-in-law is telling Emily that she needs to convince Shane to take the California bar.
Like, basically, either shit or get off the pot. Like, take the bar or stop talking about it.
Yeah. So, at first, when I heard this, I was like, number one, how is he her boss at any point?
Right.
Because that's how they met.
Wasn't it a different state?
Yes. We learn that he has passed the bar in Utah,
mm-hmm.
but has not passed the bar in California.
Yeah.
Which California is a notoriously hard bar exam.
Why is that?
It's all very state to state.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But like, we know so many lawyers out there. We know Tom Girardi. We know Robert Kardashian Sr. Was it just there were too many lawyers at one point?
Yeah, they just had to get the best of the best, yeah. baby. Yeah. So, and then also I think it's also harder to take the bar years out after originally taking your first bar.
Right.
Because it's not fresh. Mm-hmm. You're not in the studious mindset.
Mm-hmm.
I would not like to take a bar right now.
Oh my God, we should sign you up and see how you do. That would be a good, like, come through queen in the field. Like, sign you up for the bar to see if you can get it before what's-his-name gets it.
Shane?
Yeah.
you're sick.
Just saying.
Yeah, so that's what we got a taste of with Emily.
Emily, did we discuss yet how, like, her entire relationship with her husband started on GChat? And,
yeah.
like, they got, like, engaged on GChat or something like that?
She also perpetuated this notion on Watch What Happens Live.
And Brooklyn Decker called her out.
Yes, that GChat predated text messaging.
Which
is not the case.
I could see what she meant.
No.
No. Hear me out. So, like, GChat, like, think about GChat. I had it in college back then in, like, the 2006s, the 2007s, the 2008s yeah. of the world. Texting was around, but
Texting was around.
But, like, people weren't... people, like... It's not like texting culture like we have now, where everyone's texting constantly. It was, like... People, if they were sitting at a computer, would use other means. Right?
Okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I just want to know, like, the exact year that this was transpiring.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to say by 2008, no.
By 2009, definitely everyone was, like, all phones.
Texting.
People had, like... Blackberries at that point, people were, like, doing BBM and, like, that sort of thing.
People had iPhones, too.
Yeah, the iPhone was, like, coming out. So, yeah. But I stand
with
her.
If it was 2006, maybe 2007, I'll give it to her.
Uh-huh. Because I even think about it now. A lot of my, like, first courting with, like, my college boyfriend happened, like, via Facebook messages, like, before Messenger,
Ooh.
Like, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I think even on, like, GChat
Mm-mm-mm.
and that sort of thing. Do you remember Google Wave?
I know you tried to
I tried to make a, I tried to do a tweet about it today. Got 2 likes. Which is...
so proud of you.
But, yeah, that was fun.
Wasn't Google Wave, like, kind of like an Excel spreadsheet or something?
It was, like, almost like a Google Doc, like, collaboration situation.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Maybe Emily got proposed to on a Google Wave and she just forgot. But bringing it back to OC, I liked when Vicky called. We get a flashback of Vicky calling Kelly Dodd, and Kelly answers the phone. What do you want? Kelly Dodd is really the one steering the ship on OC right now.
She's like, we'll get to more of her later, but she's really something.
So then they like meet
up. This is her third season. That's wild.
Yeah, they meet up. A very awkward hug that Vicky attempts to give, and mm-hmm. Kelly does not want to receive.
Mm-hmm.
And like, Vicky just can't admit what she's doing is the wrong aspects of what she's doing.
Mm-hmm. This is like what the thing is with Vicky. We get too many scenes of her sitting there and like thinking she's apologizing to someone, but she's like just not.
We also get a lot this episode of Vicky kind of talking around the fact that she thinks she owns this show. Mm-hmm. She's like, I deserve respect.
Right.
You will give me respect. Mm-hmm. And like to the girls later, like, this is my sandbox. And like, you're going to play in my sandbox and follow my rules.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But then we get a spawn con of Dodd and Tamara
hugging
their dogs.
You probably hated this spawn con.
Least favorite spawn con.
What's this movie called?
Dog Days.
Dog Days? Will you be going to see it?
Will not see Dog Days. I have enough Dog Days here in this building. So riding the elevator with 100 dogs. Those are my Dog Days of summer.
Oh my god.
I want to say the spawn con for The Spy Who Loved Me mm-hmm. or whatever last week was a million times better.
OC's getting a lot of spawn con. Their spawn con even played during New York this week.
Which is interesting because they used to never get it.
Right.
They would be like the last chosen mm-hmm. for this kind of job. But here we are.
Tamara has proved herself as an actress on and off the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As you claim that she was acting all last
week. I think she was acting all the entire last week's episode, except when she broke her foot.
Okay. Shannon's QVC frozen meals.
Did I tell you that I heard she was going to be on QVC, so I DVR'd the entire thing? She was on for like 15 minutes.
When?
Like 2 Saturdays ago.
Okay. Well, was it the meals?
Yeah. So, spoiler alert. She was on this guy's like regular show. It's like In the Kitchen with David. And she like did a segment on that.
I mean, we reported on this podcast that she got this QVC deal.
Yeah. Her and Lisa Rinna seeing each other in the halls of QVC.
So, I want to say the cameras of Orange County Real Housewives did not do much justice to these meals.
I thought that the linguine one looked fine.
Yeah.
Also, these weren't like the finished product yet. These were still like production.
The test kitchen, one might say.
Yes. Well, no, we weren't like, she wasn't cooking it raw. These were like frozen, but it was like not the completed.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you need to freeze a linguine? Like, cooking pasta is so easy.
Yeah. But, like, I've had, like, if you go to, like, Trader Joe's and you grab those things of frozen pasta that you can just, like, 2 seconds put it on the thing.
No, I mean, I do gotta say, the Trader Joe frozen meals, they know what they are doing.
Right.
I'm not gonna be expecting the same quality out of QVC frozen meals.
Really?
No.
You have to be put on a payment plan for these things, and over at Trader Joe's they're like $2 a pop.
I know, like, you could just pop over to Trader Joe's. Yeah, having her daughters try them out, I feel they were not the right audience for this.
They don't have the refined palates. I don't think a lot of people like on the OC show have like refined palates.
Oh no, they like a plain chicken breast, no salt and pepper.
A well-done steak.
Maybe a steamed broccoli.
Mm-hmm.
No salt and pepper. not a char, just a steam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't want to eat like the OC ladies.
They also don't eat on the screen.
Yeah. So, we get Gina going to the zoo with her kids, and was it her mom or something?
Well, it's also just foreshadowing, like, the demise of her marriage.
Yeah, I mean, this man is just not anywhere in the picture in terms of being on screen, like literally not in the picture.
Right. But we've seen a picture of him.
Yes.
We'll
and,
miss him.
I mean, he would have been, like, giving Mauricio a run for his money.
I think already surpassing Mauricio.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, got the Lydia's husband good looks without, like, the weird skeeviness of him.
Yeah.
You know?
And a little, like, a little bit more, like, beef to it.
Yeah, like a Long Island version of that.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I don't think we're ever going to see him.
Sad.
So... The pinnacle of this episode was really this dinner where we get the six ladies together for the first time.
Yes.
And of course, the three amigos are planning a...
Like, secret handshake?
A dance, a greeting.
It's like a way to try to intimidate the new women, but the new women didn't fall into it.
I feel like they like were so confused by what was happening. Shannon hates everyone new.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting, because that's kind of like Vicky's game.
Yeah, but like, think about people... They played the montage, which
They've
been doing a lot more montages across all, franchises recently. Like, a lot more flashback montages, mm-hmm. and I liked the one of, like, every new person Shannon hating, from Megan King-Edmonds to Kelly Dodd to Lydia.
Yeah, which is funny that, like, Lydia predates Shannon.
I know.
We get Tamara scooting around on a little, it's like kind of like a bike.
Oh, it's like where you kneel.
Yeah.
And you like, if your foot's broken.
I would definitely do that over crutches.
Yeah.
It's a little like easier, quicker.
But it's like, it's a lot more money.
Oh, okay.
Crutches like cost nothing.
Mm-mm-mm. Okay. Fun fact, did not know Shannon went to law school and then... dropped out during her second year, and this was tied to her first marriage. Did you know she was married?
I knew she was married.
I feel like
But if you think about it, it all makes sense memory. Because Shannon is like, how old is she? 50 something?
Oh, yeah. She is not a young mother.
Yeah, but her kids are young.
They're not like Gina and Emily's kids running around like lunatics.
Right, but like they were when we first met her.
Oh, yeah, were they?
They weren't like, I don't know. They're like, yeah, she's 54.
Okay.
Her youngest kid is probably 8, 9.
Currently?
10.
Right now?
11.
No, keep going.
No, the oldest one's like going off to college soon, like 18. So like.
No, they're like, I think right now they're like 16 and 15.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't tell.
I mean, if she's 54, like, she probably gave birth to them around 40.
How old are her kids? How many kids does she have?
She has three. She's got the twins.
One
looks older than the other one.
That's what confused me.
Yeah. No, there's one twin that looks like a good 2 years younger than the other twin.
Okay, that's what threw me off.
Yeah.
Surface fan over here.
Yeah, Surface fan. Come on, get off this podcast. So, what's wild to me is... Gina, we learn, is 33.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, this 33-year-old hanging out with these women.
This is why I say, like, stop hiring young ones like that. But, like, think about it. Like, Ashley and Karen?
You know, for some reason, Ashley and Karen doesn't bother me as much.
Uh-huh.
I think maybe because Ashley doesn't have kids.
That makes sense.
So I feel like she can, like, hang a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas we got this young mom. Not really a young mom, though. Like, she's in her 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Hanging out with Vicky just feels so weird.
I know. But I do, like... I will give Gina some cred for, like, first sit down with Vicky.
Oh, yeah.
Like, dragging her into this bitch.
Yes. I mean, the new girls are Team Dodd,
mm-hmm.
which, like, how can you not be Team Dodd?
Yeah. It's, like, cut and dry.
Yeah. I mean, for this specific issue, at least. In the greater scheme of things, maybe you're not Team Dodd.
Mm-hmm.
But Vicky's being a POS to Dodd. But I love Kelly saying, when, in response to Emily's support, screaming, she's a lawyer, she knows!
But, like, I wouldn't scream that about you, because I know that not all lawyers know, you know?
And then Gina keeps saying it's girl code, subtle Luann, hashtag Countess and Friends promo.
It is girl code.
And Dodge is having the time of her life, and then invites her, not quite boyfriend, but like a man she met last weekend.
Who like gives me Brian Scarf Guy vibes.
I was, that was like on the tip of my tongue, uh-huh. like waiting to jump out. Like he's literally Scarf Guy.
Well, like, I feel like women around that age, like that kind of guy's attractive. Mm. Tall, dark, handsome.
Like a longer hair.
A longer hair. Like who? It's like almost like Jacquian.
Jacquian. Jacques really set the goalposts.
He truly did.
So yeah, this dinner just really goes awry once this man arrives. Because then all the ladies want to leave, which I don't really blame them because it was really weird for Kelly to invite this man.
And like not only invite him, start making out with him. I think it's weird anytime, any situation like that. Mm. Like you're bringing in a. This, they probably went on like
one date,
and this has happened in your situations I've been around where someone's gone on one date or brought their first date to group situations. Ooh. And you know who I'm talking about?
A few, actually.
It's happened more than once, actually. And I always think it's like a little like odd because then you have to like you're like with your friends hanging out, and then you have to like. Meet this new person, make all sorts of, like, talk with them, and it could not be, it could be one and done, you know?
Meanwhile, on the other side of the coin, you were angry that I kept Alex from you for 2 months.
I'm not angry.
I am.
No, you were, not angry, you were offended, I think is the correct word.
I wasn't offended.
Oh, okay. This is a rewriting of history.
Well, it's not like, but, oh, that situation, it wasn't like, I was the first friend to meet Alex. It was, like, after, like, your het friends, then, like, your other couple friends, then it's me and Jamie alone in the corner, but where are, are they all now?
they're all here. So, let's move to New York.
New York City, baby.
So, we're back from Cartagena. It feels like a finale episode, but not quite.
Yeah, this was a really weird episode.
This episode was so fast paced.
Yeah.
They didn't linger on any one scene too long.
We're bopping around so much. It's a lot of reflection on this crazy trip. A lot of shit talk. And like literal shit. Like poop. Not like shit talk. There was plenty of that too.
Sure.
Actually, every scene had something. The Ramona reveal.
Every scene had something. Hamptons, Reno. We've been doing this for months, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
We got a rug from Zarin Fabrics.
Which
is not closed. Still open. Still open. Around the corner.
Honey tried to get a rug from Zarin Fabrics.
Oh, yeah. She tried to win the contest, and we had to all, like, tag her or something in an Instagram post.
It was, like, weeks later, and I was like, why am I following this, like, weird carpet company?
Okay. Ramona's Reno. Listen, she worked with what she had.
Mm-hmm.
I liked where we're going with it. It needs to be a little bit more lived in.
There needs to be a lot more color,
I think. A few more rugs, actually.
Yeah.
Zarin could have given a few more.
Like,
that, I know, color I was fine with.
I think that main room, she had that big photograph above the mantle.
Yeah.
Which was done by someone who I knew in college, actually. He's, like, now a famous photographer, which is wild.
Can we get a photograph up in here?
I don't know. He was my ex-boyfriend's, like, roommate in L.A.
Wow.
Anyways.
But Luann...
But no, that had a lot of good color, like, lots of blues and stuff like that. Sure, that could have been brought into, like, some throw pillows. Maybe, like, a little bit of a pattern on a curtain.
To be honest with you, I was fine with it. Whether or not it's ordered online, I don't know why that was the biggest offense.
Yeah, Luann isn't getting countessy, but she's kind of getting a little judgmental across the board.
Which, given the fact that I do adore her Hamptons home that she stole from her kids.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, she does have a leg to stand on. But she was being, like, overly aggressively mean about it when she recounted the Reno with Bethany.
Well, because The thing is, when you are on Bethany's good side, feed into all of that personality, and you get a little...
Yeah.
Like that.
There's not a flower. There's not even a chia pack.
I counted three flowers in the... There were like, what's those things called? The orchids?
Glenn smelled the flowers. But to contrast this, I'm going to jump ahead a little bit.
Okay.
Bethany's reveal for her home. I liked it even less.
I wouldn't say even less. I just was like not impressed compared to what I've seen from her taste. This is like the third apartment I've seen.
I like Bethany's Hamptons home 100 times better than this house. This apartment.
But I think she's like really trying for like chic city living when she's doing this. I will say I do like that she thinks of all the details and makes sure that like a house is all tricked out in like the right ways. Like, yeah, install that nice ice maker. Like, make sure that you have like the moth-free closet and all that. Like, do all that. I do like that.
Sure.
You also are just like...
No.
You are... You will never give Bethany anything.
No, I'll give her plenty.
You'll give her Hamptons house. But I bet like 2 years ago, you wouldn't give her the Hamptons house.
I'm giving her the Hamptons house. I don't like Bryn's bed being tucked into a wall.
What?
Bryn's bed, there's like the way her bedroom is shaped. There's like an indent in the wall. Mm-hmm. And that's where the bed is. Like her bed's like up against the wall on three sides.
People like a little, like, cozy comfort.
I feel like it's a little suffocating. And I feel like, overall, the look was a little masculine for me. I just wasn't crazy about it.
Okay. But you liked Ramona's house more?
I feel like Ramona's house had more potential to go in the direction of something I would like.
Yeah. One thing I like about rich people is that, like, they can... Like, Bethany's so rich that she can have a team of people come in and move her entire house so that she's ready to move straight in after vacation.
Yeah.
Like, that's the kind of rich we should all aspire to be.
Yeah, sure. Okay. So...
I need to talk about Carol and Tinsley.
And Tinsley sobbing?
I'm... With the Team Bethany and Carol thing, I'm Team Carol. But, like, this sit-down... She was, like... so weird and like mean about Tinsley. Like, it was bizarre to me.
Oh, Carol was mean about Tinsley?
She said the reason that Tinsley had no problem with like the boat ride was because Tinsley's used to making excuses for abusive relationships.
Oh, I think I like missed this part.
It was like so crazy to me.
Yeah.
So weird. Okay. And then that's why she started like sobbing. Tinsley did.
Oh, I thought she was just... No, I thought she was crying because she said, like... It wasn't that scary, and she was taking it personally that all the other women thought it was scary.
No, there was this whole narrative said about, like, Tinsley coming from an abusive relationship, so she makes excuses for, like, things that are scary. Which I thought was, like, such, like, a weird read of this situation. And I almost think that it... I hate to blame Bethany, but I feel like it's that sort of, like, Bethany decides a narrative for you, and Carol was deciding some weird narrative for Tinsley that I don't think existed.
I can't believe I glossed over that aspect of this conversation.
I just clarified with Alex to make sure I wasn't crazy and making something up, because, you know.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It was so weird.
Yeah, I mean, that does sound crazy.
Yeah.
I guess I can't be a blind Carol stan anymore.
Well, like, you have to realize that some people, no matter how much you like them, have flaws.
Yeah, come on.
Let's talk about
Sonia.
Yeah, let's talk about Sonia.
That poor rental agent.
Sonia has put so much into that relationship with that rental agent. Like... She loves that woman so much.
I feel like she wants to con her into being part of Team Sonia.
But, like, the way Sonia was talking about her. Also, the revelation that Sonia wears diapers when traveling.
Oh, yeah. We can't gloss over that.
It's... She wears diapers on the jitney because she doesn't want to use a bus bathroom.
I mean, Lisa Rinna is shaking right now.
And
the Depend sponsorship is in jeopardy.
And I will say, Sonia clarified, I think on Watch What Happens Live, that she doesn't usually wear the white diapers, that she prefers the... There's black ones or there's purple ones.
Stop it.
Which I've, as a joke, ordered diapers for, like, diaper samples to my friend's office.
Okay.
Just to be like, huh, this is so weird. And there are, like, black and purple ones.
But are they, like, big and puffy, like Pampers?
No, no, no. It's like, more it's chic? Slimming. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, you've seen that Lisa Rinna commercial. It's the point of it is, like, she can wear it underneath, like, a ball gown or whatever. Yeah.
She's,
and you
like,
can't
going
tell.
To the Oscars.
Yeah. I think, Pampers. Like, I think what Sonia was wearing on the plane back was, like, a baby diaper.
I got
the one that was, like, popping out of her pants.
But like on this same line of discussion, dogs and cats are just shitting outside. The snow is falling.
Oh, I thought you, for a second, I thought you meant dogs and cats in general in the world.
No, not in general.
I thought you were setting up another like reason to drag animals.
No. Sonia lets the dogs and cats shit outside. Then it snows. The snow compounds it, and then the snow melts, and then she still doesn't want to pick it up. And she says, like, oh, you know, my daughter's not here. I got this. It's just a lot for me to handle.
As somebody who just took care of a dog for 5 days, pro tip,
okay.
Pick up the poop immediately and throw it in a trash can.
Yeah. I think
done in 2 seconds.
Here's what I think her... Here's how I think her game plan is. She's got the dogs. Hopefully they're not shitting in the home. I imagine she picks those up. She'll open like the door to the garden out, let them run out, shit. They come back in. She will worry about it another day.
Yeah, but that's lazy. You gotta do it. I know.
I know. Trust me, I know.
No, you don't.
Okay. So Bethany and Lou go to get a custom lipstick for hashtag Countess and Friends.
You can make your own lipstick. It seemed fun.
I would love that.
It seemed a little, like, boring, though. Because, like, you don't get to mix it yourself, really.
Jamie, would you like a custom lipstick?
Yeah, like, was it in Soho?
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Yes, I saw that store. I want to go.
See, I guess it's
cheap,
hip.
Though.
Not cheap, but I guess if you have a show at 54 Below...
I mean, Bethany's a very rich woman, so...
Yeah. Maybe Bethany will take you, Jamie. So, we get a meal with Carol and Dorinda. And Carol walks in with 2 copies of
A
Widow's Guide. Now, I felt like I got hit over the head and like woke up 5 years later.
It's like...
We're still having this conversation about Widow's Guide being optioned for a TV show.
So yeah, that was like a thing in her first season.
Second season.
That she was possible. And like back then I remember being like, oh my God, this is so exciting.
So exciting.
She's going to get this show optioned. It's going to be so amazing.
And then when Girlfriend's Guide was announced, I thought that was the show.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't the show.
So then... Maybe in this post-American woman Kyle Richards world, there's actually a market for these Housewives TV shows.
I have a legitimate question. Did that season finish?
I don't know.
Did it happen?
Did it get started. Pulled? It definitely started.
Not a soul is talking about American Woman.
Well, it was so weird because it got moved to like... the Paramount channel, which is a new channel, and like there's not much going on there except for Bar Rescue, which is really good.
Okay.
But this also felt like, because we know what happened with Carol, it felt like she just didn't have one more storyline to give. It was like,
so we're making this up?
I don't know, just pulling something from the past. Like, when she said, I just got off the call with my agent, she could have meant, I just got off the call with my agent in 2012.
No, but she did still have a storyline, because we're like, amping up for the Cosmo article party.
I was joking.
Which, speaking of, we are going in our Adidas Best, a tracksuit, a fun little sneaker.
They called
sneaker.
It athletic chic at first, but then they were just calling it athleisure, so I wonder what the invitation actually said, and I wonder if...
Athletics.
I wonder if Ramona didn't get the memo on purpose.
I mean, Ramona did, I do want to say, looked a little toned down from a normal Ramona look.
She was in a black dress.
But it was like a strappy body number.
Yeah, so let's go down to the looks. Carol.
We're still running that marathon.
She's had some looks. She finally finished this article.
6 months later.
6 months later. She's a writer, and she finished this one article 6 months later.
Yeah. Well, she deserves an award. And we got Adam there to give her one, which he worked 3 days on, according to Scott.
Do you think that Adam purchased that trophy from Mario Singer?
I would love for that to be the case.
Because that's all I could think of, because the last time that a trophy like that was involved was when Carol threw a different party at Spin, and Mario provided the trophies for it.
Wow. That's a throwback.
Wow. Well, all of Carol's storylines
are throwbacks these days. So, more looks. We got Tinsley in her pigtails.
Her look was like wild. Jenny from the Block.
With Columbia promo. And not Cartagena, Columbia. Columbia University.
Well, she graduated from there, which we found out. Her and Kelly Bensimon.
Wild. Played for the tennis team? Intramural tennis? Who knows?
No, she's a WASP, so it makes sense that she would have played tennis.
I know, but like collegiate sports are like serious business.
Is there like a huge collegiate tennis situation?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe if you're like serious into tennis, you skip the whole college, then you just go into the like the US Open.
The pros. Yeah, what is the track for tennis?
I don't know. Because I feel like while you're young, you gotta go do it. Like, don't mess around in like a college team, right? I don't know. Most importantly, the thing I want to talk about the most this episode, Mama is back.
Yes.
And if you don't know who Mama is, get a clue. It's Heather Thompson, the one true queen.
Well, not the one true queen this week, but...
No, but she, like, of life.
Yes, of life. So Heather rolls in, and Ramona is very eager to greet her and say hello.
Ramona, not even 8 episodes ago, referred to her as that woman, didn't call her by her name. Now she's so chippy to see her.
And she, like, pulls her into the hug, and she's like, she tries to be like, what were the exact words?
She says, what do you say? Give me some love, sugar. My eyes were focused on that, the two of them. Because Ramona, for some reason, was so excited to see her. After not even wanting to acknowledge her as a former castmate.
And, like, Ramona hated Heather when she was on the show.
Yeah.
For most of it. The last season, they sort of, like, became friendly, I guess.
I mean, Ramona liked seeing Heather give it to Bethany.
Yeah. So, speaking of that...
Bethany? Nowhere to be found.
Yeah. And when Carol... So, what's her name? Ramona apparently tells Heather that Carol's, like, found her voice. And Heather's like, you've always had a voice to me, honey... And is like, and then goes into, she's almost has a prepared monologue about implying that Bethany is awful and that she knew it from the start.
She's chomping at the bit.
Yeah.
To fight Bethany.
You know what I say? I say, we know Carol's gone. I say, tag Heather in to like finish Bethany.
Finish her. Man, Heather was ready.
Yeah.
I wish she, like...
I wish Bethany was there.
Yeah. That would have been something to behold. Because we know Bethany. Like, Heather fucks Bethany up more than anyone.
Yeah.
Even more than Carol.
But I think, like... I think that Heather would go into Luann's Hamptons home mode and, like, get in Bethany's face and, like, chase her around and say, don't tell me anything, motherfucker.
Yes. I am the hostess. Okay. Then we get Bethany, take your daughter to work day, bring Sonia to the denim company to see some friggin' bejeweled jeans.
In, like, a... like a cabin? Where were they?
Was that in the city of New York?
I don't know. And, like, the like, little homosexual with, like, the plaid shirt and the fur vest. He was gay, right?
Sure.
Confirmed?
Yeah.
Because he did say that thing about BPD?
Oh,
Big Package Denim?
I don't know.
Or something?
I thought, like, I was so confused. I was like, are those the jeans they sell at Urban Outfitters? But that's BDG.
Oh, yeah.
So these are skinny jeans. About?
I don't know. No, it means, like, big package denim. Like, it makes your package look big.
Yeah, sure.
Bethany loved that. Bethany loves to hear about a package.
She was having the time of her life. She was hooting, hollering. She's there with her sister, Sonia. They're so fun, funny, light. God, it was, like, she's putting on the biggest act of being best friends with Sonia. I would love to see her hanging out with Sonia when the cameras are down. Have we ever seen the two of them in a picture together, off-season?
I don't think so.
No.
No.
Okay. Dorinda and John are eating dinner in, like, a side corner of the Madame Paulette factories.
I loved this.
I loved this.
I bet you they do this all the time.
I loved. Where did this food come from? I want to know everything.
I bet you that John orders in from the nicest restaurant in the Upper East Side.
Caviar, not Seamless.
Yeah. No, he has someone go fetch it.
Okay, yeah.
He has, like, one of the...
Team Paulette
go fetch it. I bet he does this, like, once a month.
Oh, it's so romantic. Dorinda is guiding him for his appearance on Rachel Ray.
Beautiful.
She doesn't want him to give away too much to the studio audience. He's just so kind.
He's
benevolent.
Shut the fuck up.
Giving. A kind man.
Do you think Rachel Ray and Luann kind of look alike?
They have, like, the same tone.
What does that mean?
Like, a very gravelly, like...
No, whoa. I said looks, not sounds.
I don't think they look alike. I think they a little sound bit. Alike.
I think it's the same general idea.
I think the sound is traveling to looks for you.
No, I think they were, like, cut from the same fabric.
From the same Connecticut cloth. Okay. So, we are finishing up this episode with Ageless by Ramona.
Which, try to Google it.
Does not exist.
Nothing.
Bethany was actually flipping out on Twitter last night, saying, like, I'm not going to parties for fake product, like, fairy tale products.
Oh, my fuck. Oh, my God. I've also tried to Google Skinny Girl Deli Meats to see if I could find some in the tri-state area. Also, does not exist.
I know, Bethany, so you're one to talk about fairy tale products. That deli meat was all a dream.
It existed once upon a time.
For 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So, at Ageless by Ramona, we get Sonia carrying a bag of shoes to give out to some women who attend this. Not for Dorinda and Carol, because they're on her shit list.
This is, like, absurd.
And, like, Ramona's, like, hitting Sonia as she's doing this. Tinsley's dreaming up businesses for herself. Tinsley travels.
Yeah, that was a joke.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you... Just making sure you got it.
So, okay. So then we kind of got, like, a little bit of a showdown with, like, Lou and Dorinda.
Mm-hmm.
And even though, like, I'm always Team Dorinda, obviously we know she's been wrong for many episodes now.
Mm-hmm.
But Lou carrying on about Dorinda's drinking problem,
mm-hmm.
I think was also misguided.
Well, like, Lou saying one thing to Dorinda's face, but then saying something completely different in, like, the interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, she's like, oh, I would never stay mad at my friends, darling, but then yeah, turn them around yeah, and, yeah. like, all that. So that's where I think she's going wrong.
And we learned over the course of the past week, I want to say, Dorinda has not seen or spoken to Lou since they rapped.
Interesting.
Which is wild. That's
was that
5 months ago.
Tweet was about?
What tweet?
The tweet that somebody posted, the, like, incoherent tweet from Dorinda.
That wasn't where we learned that. That was just a crazy tweet that didn't really make much sense.
Oh.
Okay. Previews for next week. It's hashtag Countess and Friends.
Mm-hmm.
Dorinda's in the audience, angry.
So pissed. She's angry because Scott was invited, Tinsley's boyfriend, but John wasn't. And she's been with John for like 5 years or whatever, and Scott and Tinsley have been together for a year.
Or as she says, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Dorinda is enraged in the preview.
I know, it looks so scary.
And then we hear her popping off at the after party.
So scary. After party that some people who listen to this podcast were at. More than one person. Or no, one person, and then the other person was on the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This looks like a finale that I am excited for.
It's going to be so scary. The clip of Ramona trying to confront Bethany, then walking away
oh my God.
Is so good.
Give her an EGOT. Give her all four
give her
awards.
An EGOT.
Give her all four awards at once.
Okay.
It deserves musical acknowledgement. Broadway baby. She's a Broadway baby.
She is a Broadway baby.
It's television.
It's television.
It's the silver screen. Give it all to her.
Do you know the other one?
I said the silver screen. Musical. Broadway baby.
Oh,
television.
Oh,
silver
oh.
screen.
I thought you were saying... never mind. Okay.
So this is not going to be quite a deep dive, but more a where are they now? Mama.
So, Dan, like, I've never seen Dan more excited than he is to talk about Heather Thompson and her contributions. And I did a little bit of, like, my own personal deep dive that I posted on Twitter about a few months ago. Whereas we found out that it was major... Heather was in the middle of major drama between J-Lo and Beyonce back in the day. And, like, we sort of knew Heather's resume. Like, she's always said, oh, I worked for Diddy. I worked for House of Darion. Yada, yada, yada. Little did we know that J-Lo... No, that Beyonce allegedly stole Heather from J-Lo in sort of a...
A coup d'etat.
A Katy Perry and Taylor Swift bad blood situation.
Yeah.
So that was the original. And to this day... Tina Knowles Lawson will like a Heather Thompson Instagram.
I mean, Tina's only following like 60 people.
I know.
Heather Thompson being one of them.
I wonder how often they talk.
I don't know.
I feel like Tina Knowles likes to keep people around for a long time and really nurtures friendships.
Mm-hmm.
So I bet you they're still in each other's lives.
Beautiful.
But where's Heather now?
Where is she?
We didn't know. Or I didn't know until recently. And I think it's because this news happened in 2016. And 2016 was wild, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But she stepped down from Yummy after some major drama and litigation with the company's manager. And on a recent episode of the podcast Andy's Girls, she said, I was stunted in where I wanted to go with Yummy because I had a partner in the business. And he and I just don't see eye to eye. I decided I had done that and it was time for me to move on. Sometimes you need to close the door to open another one. Do you think Heather would come on here?
Oh, my God. Andy's Girls. Come Through Queen.
You forgot the name of the podcast, didn't you?
Our podcast?
Yeah. Oh.
We are peers in the podcast world, right?
I guess. Where else is she?
Now, she's doing a new nutrition brand. So now that she's done with Yummy, Heather's moved on to her next endeavor. Around the end of her housewife's tenure, Heather got a degree in nutrition, and now she's putting it to good use with a new food brand called Nutritionary.
Weird.
It's funny, like, Yummy Tummy would have applied to this as well. Because it's like, yummy, yeah, tummy.
I think she's selling this on, you know that, like, QVC knockoff line, Evine, that, like, Heather DeBro sells stuff on?
Doesn't Lou sell the Countess collection on there as well?
Maybe. That's one that's, like, based in Minnesota. And Paula Deen sells stuff on there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Scary.
Yeah. So, besides all that, she is also an ambassador for a performance wear brand. It's based out of New Orleans. It's called Task Performance.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what, like, that entails, just posting outfits on Instagram?
Probably. I think, like, she's really into, like, hiking and climbing stuff recently, so yes. It has to do with that.
She recently climbed Mount Kilimanjaro.
Really?
Yeah.
That's, like, the biggest one, except for Everest?
Yeah, I think that's, like, Everest's little sister.
Yeah.
But shout out to Slice that, like, did this roundup of Heather's whereabouts these days.
Gave us a look into a slice of Heather's life.
A slice of Heather's life.
Yes.
So, Brendan, who is the freak of the week?
The freak of the week is Bethany Frankel, because some news came out about where, and this actually has a lot to do, in my mind, with Heather. But from Page Six, Bethany is one busy housewife. Beth is expanding her empire to include a wide range of clothing. According to The Blast, Frankel has secured legal paperwork to slap her skinny girl branding on eyewear, sunglasses, backpacks, purses, and wallets.
I would love a skinny girl backpack.
Her company also reportedly filed to use the name SG Ingenious for use on products including jeans, trousers, dresses, and jackets. She previously trademarked the phrase, good girls have good jeans. Though it's not,
what about skinny girls?
It's not clear exactly how or when the trademarks will be used. Frankel announced plans earlier this year to launch a line of skinny girl denim, which we saw on the show.
Interestingly, launching September 10th, which is pretty much when, like, right after the show's going to wrap up.
She's a marketing genius.
Yeah.
Not only is Frankel creating clothing and accessories for women, but she's reportedly looking to expand into kids' clothing. Back in February, the housewife had trademarked the name Brinny Girl.
I am screaming from the rooftops. How did we not talk about this back in February?
I don't know. Obviously inspired by her daughter, Bryn. And she wants to launch a clothing line for children. The trademark reportedly covers shoes, underwear, hats, swimsuits, diaper covers, and more for babies, toddlers, and young children.
Why is it not skinny baby? Why is it not skinny kid? Where is the skinny boy?
Because she would be demented. So I just want to say that back when Heather Thompson was still on the show and talking about launching jeans, which I think she did, Bethany criticized her and was like, you know what? You got to find one product and stay in your lane and make that product the best it can be, yada, 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 yada.
Yeah.
But here she is launching everything.
Well, I think Bethany thinks the rules don't apply to her.
Yeah.
I do want a skinny girl backpack.
Why?
I'm in the market for a new backpack. My old backpack, I, like, spilled mouthwash all over it, so I need to get rid of it.
That's, like, seems like the easiest thing to clean up.
I've had it for 13 years. Like, it's time to move on to, like, a fresh, new, like, hip backpack. Skinny girl backpack being probably the one. Also, Brinny girl, would you dress your children in Brinny girl?
I'm never having fucking children. Though I wonder if it said it covered diaper something or other. Yeah. So I wonder if Sonia is consulting.
Oh my god!
Diaper
finally,
covers.
Sonia's gonna be able to afford her life. I mean, was the apartment rented?
I know she's living elsewhere.
Oh, she is?
She posts on Instagram stories a lot, and she has, like, this place with a balcony. I almost want to say, it looks like to me, like, it's on the west side, almost near, like, Hudson Yards, like, way over there. Because it's, like, a lot of those, like, really tall-looking silver buildings.
Wow. Okay. So, not only do we have one true queen, we have two true queens this week.
Mm-hmm. Well, the friendship, the sisterhood is the queen.
Yeah, the sisterhood. Legends supporting legends.
Yes.
Dave Quinn from People Magazine tweeted, "A Housewives reunion. BFFs Brandi Glanville and Kristen Takeman had dinner last night at Craig's in Los Angeles. And we got two shots of the sisters seemingly walking in or out of the restaurant. And then in the restaurant holding two very large glasses of wine, smiling.
Mm-hmm.
Where is Brandi? Give her the diamond. Bring her back on Celebrity Big Brother. Do what it takes to get her back on my TV screen."
I wouldn't mind Kristen back.
Yeah, Chris. You know what? Let's do, like, New York. Let's give 12 ladies apples. I don't think it would be a problem.
I mean, that one, the season 7 was, like, 9 of them.
It was 8 of them.
And it worked.
It worked. And what's another one or two?
Right.
Like, sometimes you gotta, like, try something else. We're 10 years into many of these franchises.
Yeah, because look at, like, Jersey, they only give us, like, 4 women. Like,
oh, and we're, like, scraping for, like, storylines.
Pile them on.
I think, in contrast, Gemma Collins, obviously, from Connor Being Real, she was on The Only Way Is Essex. I believe there's, like, 20 cast members on that show.
Yeah.
So, like, there obviously can be a successful show with many cast members. We just dip in and out of whoever's having something interesting going on.
And it's more occasions where they're all together. Like, yeah. Vanderpump Rules, they're all together all the time.
20 people on that show as well. Well, that's it for this week.
Please call us if you have any thoughts. 717-47-FREAK. We would love to hear about anything that you want to talk about. Join the Facebook group, Come Through Queen Facebook group. We have to approve you to let you in, but we do it, like, within seconds.
Unless it's, like, 3 a.m.
Yeah, then we'll do it within hours.
You could follow Brendan at Not Brendan. You could follow me at IDKIDK. You could email us at comethroughqueen@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you can like, comment, subscribe, heart, share, retweet.
Love us, please retweet.
We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
I wanna see ya come through, queen.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing.
Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.